Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast, now known just as Lexi. Thanks for tuning in. I'm recording this episode in Australia. I'm in Australia right now. I love it. I have wanted to come to this continent for decades. I remember having a conversation as a 9-year-old with one of my best friends, and we were like, one day we'll go to Australia and we will meet our husbands. We were convinced that we need to be here and this is the place we love. That's been in the back of my mind for ages. And then about this time last year, I started to have the itch to come here. And I always say that you can ask God for what, but you cannot ask for how. And I had put it out into the universe that I want to go to Australia. If you told me that the way I was going to get here is that one of my best friends who lives in Paris was going to end up spending the summer and autumn in California, she was going to invite you on tour up the West Coast with a band called Babe Rainbow. You all were going to get along so well that you get invited on their Australian tour. And now I'm staying in a small farm town outside of Byron Bay with a man named Jack, his wife Carter, their beautiful kids, and Camille in their little guest house called the Banana Shed. It's incredible. It's really incredible. I could have never predicted this, but at the same time, I cannot say I'm surprised. This has been the adventure of a lifetime, and I'm only a third of the way into the trip. I got here late last Saturday. I had no fear regarding this trip. I had so much fear regarding the flight. Flights are really hard for me because there are so many variables and you have no control. Once I'm on land, I feel free. Even if I don't like my situation, I have options to change it. If I don't like my situation on an airplane, I'm in a huge device in the sky. There's no getting down. And you don't know who you're going to sit next to. You don't know what temperature it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to smell like. You don't know if there's going to be turbulence. I hate it all. And it's dicey. So I did a ton of preparation to make myself as comfortable as possible for this 15-hour flight. I didn't fly direct. I flew from Los Angeles to San Francisco and then from San Francisco to Brisbane. I do not love Los Angeles's airport. LAX, not my favorite. San Francisco? If that's your default airport, how lucky are you? It's beautiful. It's so nice. Even the walk from my two gates, it was for sure, no exaggeration, maybe 20 minutes. Such a nice walk. I was going through these hallways that were telling me about the history of San Francisco with a soundscape, some of jazz, some of birds. I loved it. It was beautiful. It was really, really nice. There's so many different areas to sit down. If you have a long layover, what a comfortable place to have it. Also, there was a yoga room. That wasn't my gate, so I didn't have the opportunity to check in. However, I definitely made a mental note of that and think that's amazing. They also have so many nutritious food options. I had a really nice, I think like a sandwich of some sort with a ton of veggies that were all really fresh for an airport. That was great. I really tried to eat as clean and simple as I possibly could leading up to the flight. I also had acupuncture that morning. I've been on a really good routine with my acupuncture. I go a lot of times for physical pain. When I started rock climbing really consistently and I was going at least 5 or 6 days a week, I started to develop more physical pains, and if I would have an aching back, I could go see Irina and would leave feeling so comfortable. And same thing, I started having some knee and ankle problems, fixes me right up. There's also a ton of other things that you can go to acupuncture for. I have friends that go to it for headaches, anxiety, digestion, you name it. She's a wizard. And in addition to the acupuncture, she also makes herbs. And her blends of herbs are out of this world. She knows what she's doing. I trust my entire physical body with her. She knows the body so well. And I had been telling her I'm going on this long flight. And normally I don't take herbs unless there's some sort of situation. I had a sinus infection recently and I was taking over-the-counter medication. It wasn't doing very much. And then I went to see her, got two herb blends. Within 2 days, I was back to normal. Went from sick as a dog to completely fine. And so I told her, yes, I want acupuncture, but I also want a small arsenal of just-in-case herbs. So she made me one. She was like, are you sure? Absolutely, absolutely. So I have herbs in case I get food poisoning. I have herbal medicine in case I catch a flu or COVID. I have some for calm, you know, flight anxiety. Also have some for energy and blood flow. And then I have an immune system one, and I have been taking them regularly. I feel incredible. I have little bouts of sleepiness. There is a massive time change, but because it's so massive and it's more than 12 hours, you can start looking at it from the backwards perspective. So I think we're maybe 16 or 17 hours ahead of Los Angeles. But instead of thinking of it that way, I just think of it like we're six or seven hours behind Los Angeles. You know, you subtract it from the 24-hour clock the opposite way. So it's 3 p.m. here, but it's 9 p.m. in Los Angeles, and that's not that bad. It's crazy when you start thinking of it as it's 9 p.m. Thursday in Los Angeles and it's 3 p.m. Friday in Australia. That's when you start to, you know, you can't think of it that way. Perspective is everything. So I haven't had too much jet lag. I did what I had to do to stay up when I arrived Saturday night and go to bed at the time change appropriate bedtime. And then I have this beautiful window and I just leave it open and I wake up with the sunrise. I'm staying with Jack and Carter and their beautiful family. I think I had said that, yes. And then the other members of Babe Rainbow, which if you don't listen to their music, they're absolutely amazing. And if you're listening to this episode and you happen to see some tour dates in Australia, if you're listening from Australia, you should absolutely come. And then we're going to New Zealand in 2 weeks. So if you're listening from New Zealand or you'll be there, you should absolutely come to the shows. They're a great time and they're great guys. So there's four guys in the band. We have Jack, and that's who I'm staying with. And then Angus is the singer. Then Miles is the drummer and Elliot is the bassist. Elliot, Camille, and I have really been quite the trio because Jack has kids and he's in dad mode and he's doing his thing. Whereas Elliot and Camille and I, we are running the town. Okay. We are running by running the town. We are running errands with Elliot, but he's just the coolest. You know, he has a cow and he gets raw milk from his cow Bluebell. And so he drops off raw milk in the fridge and we picked up 80 kilos of beef fat with him so he could make his beef tallow. And we went to, what's the beach in Byron Bay called that we've been going to? The Pass Classic. And he gave me a little bit of a surf lesson and I really enjoyed it. So we went back to the beach the next day, surfed again. I've really, really enjoyed surfing. I want to continue doing that. We have been traveling though. So I got here last Saturday and I spent the beginning of this week in Byron Bay and in the little farm town. What is it called? Federal? We're in Federal and I love it. I love it because it looks like a jungle, but it's also farmland, which feels very reminiscent of Virginia, where I'm originally from. And I love it because truthfully, when you're from a smaller town, you have all these ideas that you want to explore when you grow up most of the time. And you're like, I have to leave the closed-minded nature of my small town and get out to the big city and meet these open-minded people with progressive and interesting values that are well-traveled and culturally savvy. And so I did that, you know, from 18 until 29, I've been living in cities between Los Angeles and New York. So fun and I love it. But now it just makes the desire to be out of a city so high for me. And what I love so much about the place I'm staying is there's a ton of open-minded people. They're just living in farms. They're a lot more, you know, it's a town for the hippies and I love it. You know, there's something so nice about getting fresh food and feeling like there's just nothing but rolling hills and jungle. And then simultaneously being able to go to coffee down the road and using Apple Pay to pay for it. Having the modern conveniences, but the rural lifestyle. And it's a really nice blend. And I really, really, really am enjoying it. So we've been hanging out, drinking the best coffees everywhere I go. Anything that I've had, latte, cold brew, it's all delicious. Even the airport. Oh, when I had first landed, I haven't even talked to you through the flight. I have so many things that I want to share. I have so many things that I want to talk about. I'm trying to vlog and I'm trying to live in. And it's been so good. It's been so magical and such an adventure. I got ahead of myself. I was discussing acupuncture and the herbs. And then suddenly I started talking about, I don't even know, just the beginning of this trip. Back to the flight. We have to talk about the flight. I have my arsenal of herbs. And then I have, you know, I have some of my more like high maintenance frivolous items that you might not think are necessary to bring, but I try when I'm packing to be high maintenance and comfortable, but also practical and not overdo it. So I did bring a sheet mask, but I only brought one. I didn't bring a pack of them. You know, I was like, let me bring one for the flight and I'll probably purchase one for the flight back. I also got so lucky. My flight was so comfortable. I loved my seat. There's a website that I found on Reddit where you can enter in the plane that you're taking and they will give you a layout of that plane and rank the different seats, green for a really good seat, yellow for potentially some issues, red for don't sit there. You know, red could even be one of the front seats. There could be a red or yellow first class seat because it might not lie all the way back, or it could be next to the bathroom and it could be kind of inconvenient. So I was looking to potentially get one of the nicer seats because 15 hours, you know, it's worth it. And I was looking to spend, you know, a few hundred dollars at least in my head is what I was expecting to pay just to have one of the nice seats. But I found that there was a green seat on my flight, according to this website, and it was only $130 more. And that felt well worth it because international first class flights, I mean, the upgrade for that was, as an example, maybe closer to $1,600 or $1,700. So what is $130 in comparison? And I had a ton of legroom. On both flights, I sat next to parents, which was incredibly grounding to just have a mom and dad next to me. Going to see their kids both times, it felt really good and safe. I will say on the long flight from California to Australia, I was near coughing kids, and that had me a little nervous. I'm like, come on, not the beginning of the trip. I don't care if I'm sick when I get back, but don't have me sick for the short time that I'm here. Thank God for Irina and her herbs. I was popping in those immunity defense herbs every 5 or 6 hours. And then I brought layers. I think layers are incredibly important when it comes to a plane because you don't know the temperature. I wore just some soft, silky Adidas sweatpants and a tank top. I had thick compression socks, loafers, which I don't think loafers are the best shoe to travel in, but based on space and weight, they just ended up being the ones that I took with me. And then a big t-shirt in my bag, a zip-up hoodie in my bag, and then a thin windbreaker to put over top in case I was very cold. The hood became very important. I also upgraded to a nicer neck pillow. I had one that had foamy beads inside. It was kind of uncomfortable, but it was the cheaper one. And I decided to get a nicer Tempur-Pedic pillow for my neck that Velcroed around and you could really tighten it. My flight left at 11 p.m., the long one. And I landed 6 in the morning Australia time, which makes the time change a lot easier because you're just going to sleep. I figured I would not be able to sleep. I thought I'm going to be tossing and turning and maybe get on and off 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Tell me why I took my little calm pills. I zipped up my hoodie, put the hood on, put the neck pillow around it, knocked out 8.5 hours. I could not believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was actually 9 hours. 9 hours. The flight left around 11. I maybe spent the first hour reading, which I need to tell you about my new purchase. As a book snob, I've been converted to a device that I judged heavily. But I spent the first hour reading, and then around midnight, maybe 12:30, took a little snooze. Tell me why I woke up. I keep my watch at LA time just so I can sort of know what time it is for people back home. Tell me why I looked at my watch. It was 8 a.m. I had slept for over 8 hours. I got my 8 hours in. Are you kidding? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was thrilled. That was really, really nice. Yeah, real comfortable. So then I got up, went to the bathroom and brushed my teeth. I washed my face. I put on some face cream and some sunscreen. I think that's when I put on a collagen mask, actually. So maybe I didn't put on the cream yet. Not that you care, but I washed my face, then put on a collagen mask and started reading my book on my Kindle. I think it's time we talk about the Kindle. John, one of my best friends, has been raving about the Kindle for the last year or two. He's like, Lex, as someone who reads so much, I really think you should get a Kindle. I'm like, no, I like paper books. Sort of my thing. I don't really want a Kindle. I don't like reading digitally. And I think a lot of us snobs sort of say that. He's like, no, I really think you would like it. No, not for me. Shortly before my trip, the day before my trip, my friend who's staying in my room while I'm gone, she's like, I think you should get the Kindle. Now I'm having two people that I trust recommend the Kindle to me, you know, people that know me. And I'm thinking, I don't know why. And she's like, it's so light. They're not expensive. And you don't want to be carrying books from city to city and then not knowing what to do with them. I thought, fair point. Let me see where I can get one. The store down the road from me had one available. They're all of $100 and they weigh nothing. My Kindle weighs less than my phone does, and it fits in my pocket. Not only is it so light, you can read it with one hand, and the paper screen that they have is better than reading in the sun with actual paper. I find reading outside without sunglasses pretty unbearable. It hurts my eyes. But the Kindle screen, they really have it locked and loaded. I think laptops should have that sort of capability as well. I don't know why we have been on the moon, but we can't really have like an outside friendly laptop. Really? We're going to like have all this remote work and computer work, but we can't really be outside for too long. I think someone should fix that. That's an idea that I would really like to invest in. So it's easy to read in all situations. The battery lasts for ages. It also automatically hooked up to my Audible, so I can listen to my books if I so please. And what I also love is that if there's a word I don't know, I can click on it, and regardless of whether or not I'm connected to Wi-Fi, it will tell me the definition. And I read so fast on it. I downloaded The Pisces by Melissa Broder because I read Desert Valley by her and I adored it. And I'm a Pisces, so felt like, sure, let's do it. Kind of went into it blindly. I read it in 2 days. At the bottom of the screen, they have a timer, and I think they base it on the speed in which you read. So they break down chapters and they will say, you have 4 minutes left in this chapter. You have 2 minutes left in this chapter, which makes me want to finish the chapter. Even if it's a long one, even if, you know, it's a 14 minute, I think, I still have 14 minutes until my friend comes to get me. I could read this. It's a mental game. It kind of works in the same way as running. When I see that I have run 2.6 miles, it's like, well, at this point, let me just finish and let me get three in. It's the same way. And then also at the bottom of the screen, they have the percentage in which you finish the book. So you're 60% through this book, which it's motivating. It's really, really motivating. So power through that book. And now I'm reading Tom Robbins' Jitterbug Perfume. And I've also read Even Cowgirls Get the Blues from him. And let me tell you, Jitterbug Perfume, there's a portion, which talk about long chapters. I'm so motivated by Melissa Broder, where at max, I would have a 15-minute chapter, not even. Maybe max, it'd be 12. I'm in my second chapter of Jitterbug Perfume. 2 hours left. I'm like, good God. And also, our character in this chapter is a king, and it's, I forget what century we're in. 1700s, 1800s, maybe earlier. I can't remember right now. I really just started this book yesterday. So many words I don't know. It's sort of a period piece at this point, and it has been so nice that on the plane, not even having to connect to Wi-Fi, being able to look up what, I don't know, remind me what pious means. It's like, got it. Cool. I'm such a fan. I'm going to become a Kindle influencer. I'm going to influence all of you to get a Kindle, and we're all just going to be reading together. And it's so lovely. It's just so lovely. What else have I been doing? I read on the flight, finished the book the day or two I got there. Surfing has been so much fun. I want to keep doing it. I want to get good at it. And the beaches here are a pretty good temperature, whereas the Pacific Ocean's quite cold. So I don't need a wetsuit here, and it seems very low maintenance. I also like the way that the guys sort of approach the beach. For example, we're in Sydney right now. We flew here for the weekend. So they had a show last night, then tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then we leave Monday. And this morning, my thought process would be, okay, let's get up, let's get coffee, and let's go hang out at the beach. They said, oh, let's go to the beach and then we can get coffee. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I need my coffee now. What do you mean go to the beach and then get coffee? We're just gonna sit for hours and then grab a coffee. I'm not kidding. They all just jumped in the ocean, literally had a dip, and then came back, dried off, got in the car, and we got breakfast. I was floored. Like, wow, you all just really went to the beach for 10 minutes. If I'm going to the beach, I'm there all afternoon. I need at least a few hours. But even for the surf, obviously, there are people that spend ages at the beach, but the fact that that's not necessary. It's like, the beach is still the beach. If I can get 10 minutes there, I want 10 minutes there. And they had other things to do. So ultimately, we didn't really have time to hang out at the beach. We got breakfast at a place called Bill's today. Oof, pretty good. Pretty good. I've been eating pretty well. Home-cooked meals. It's really nice staying with a family. Jack and his family are lovely, and their kids are just the sweetest, happiest kids. They have their eldest daughter, Patience, middle daughter, Dorothy, and a little boy named Digby, and they're just so darling. And Kimmy and I are going over there while they're cooking dinner, and Patience is drawing and having us guess what she's drawing, and none of these kids are on their iPads, and they all have the same rhymes and games that I played when I was a kid. And that felt really grounding to have a kid be like, here's the church and here's the steeple, open the door and see all the people, or high five, turkey, up high, down low, in the middle, too slow. Or just even, do you remember drawing like little circle, big circle, little circle, little circle, big circle, half circle, half circle, big circle, W-W-E-E-E, and then you draw a pig? All those things they're still doing, and we're an ocean away, and I'm decades older than them, and they're still doing the same things, which felt sweet, and I love it, and I love just hanging out with people of all ages. It's nice. I'm sure there's a ton of parties going on in Australia, and maybe I'll hit them, maybe I won't. It's really not what this is about for me. I'm just along for the ride. I don't have many social goals. My goals are, I wanted to see a kangaroo, I wanted to see a wallaby, and I wanted to see a koala. Did you guys know that koalas are tiny? Koalas, I thought they were, I don't know, black bear sized, like a little black bear. Oh, they're puppy sized. Koalas can't weigh more than 5-6 pounds, the ones that I've seen. Babies, adorable. I just want to hold them and cuddle. They have quite strong claws, I think. But, you know, I'm a white woman. Any wild animal, domesticated animal, doesn't matter. Let me at them. Let me put a little bow tie. That's how I feel. I would never put a bow tie. That's not my style. Maybe a little hoodie. I digress. There has been a lot of wildlife. My first night, I get into the banana shed. It's a 2-bedroom, big living room, nice kitchen, cool view, really cool view. We're in the woods, though, for sure. No doubt about it. And Camille notices what they call a huntsman spider. I don't think they're very harmful, but they're enormous. And it was in the kitchen. It was in between the window and the screen, so it wasn't fully in the kitchen, but it wasn't outside either. It was sort of in the liminal space, then neither here nor there. And all I knew is I was scared. So thankfully, Jack killed it. Or he didn't. He didn't kill it. I think he just put it outside. But also, there was a python on the property. I didn't see that one with my own eyes. They have a recording studio. Camille went over there. Giant python underneath the roof, above the porch when you walk in. Ooh, no, thank you. Pythons are also not very, you know, scary in terms of they're pretty harmless, but they're big. They're big. It would shake me a little bit. Yeah. But then saw a koala. Haven't seen a wallaby or a kangaroo yet. Wallabies are sort of the smaller ones. And I can't think of that spider. Now I'm suddenly going to pull out my notes. What else did I want to talk about? I'm not afraid of spiders. I just don't like big bugs, you know? I can easily handle a tiny little toenail-sized spider. No biggie. The big ones? Ones that are bigger than my palm? Oh, no, thank you. Yeah. Oh, I completely missed the whole flight story. Once I arrived, flight was incredibly comfortable, read my book, did my skincare routine, had the nastiest breakfast in the whole world. I've really become in tune with my food taste recently. I feel like I had my emotions all over the place when I was in my early 20s, and food was this comfort for me emotionally, and any chance I could eat food, I would, anything at all. It didn't matter to me, the quality, the taste, even whether or not I liked it. I just was happy to stuff my face like a little piggy. I remember I went to France when I was maybe 21 or 22, and I was a little chunky in my 20s. I was just sampling everything at this store, and the owner was like, wow, you're a little piggy, huh? I was just so excited to have that sort of comfort, and it was a really growing moment for me when this tray of pretty sad looking food was given to me. Like this, they said, do you want eggs or pancakes? And I said eggs, and it was this nasty like potato gravy egg onion situation, but none of it looked edible. It looked like it was fine. People were eating it. The guy next to me ate it. And then a croissant that was as hard as a brick, yogurt and some fruit. And I just had the yogurt and fruit. A little Greek yogurt and fruit was enough for me. And I felt really proud of myself, where I wasn't just eating food because it was there and because it was free. I was only eating what I wanted, what would taste good, what I would enjoy, and what would make me feel good. And that was nice. After that, we landed and I had ample time. So they've been touring a little bit earlier. I came a week late to the tour because I didn't want to leave Spoon for that long. Trust me, if Spoon was here with me, my dog, I would be extending my trip. But it's quite difficult, from my understanding, to bring an animal into Australia. And we were going to be traveling all these different places. So at least for this trip, it seemed best to not bring him. But I miss him. He's in good hands, though. He's in good hands. The girls that are watching him are sending me photos every day, multiple photos a day. He's thriving. He's on a heating pad, hanging out. He's going on walks. He's playing with toys. He's sleeping good. He's in good hands. So that gives me a lot of peace of mind, but I do miss him inevitably. I got off my flight and I had ample time because the band and Camille were flying from another city. So they were at a different airport than I was. That was maybe an hour south of where I was. I was in Brisbane. They were in the Gold Coast. And I was told I could take maybe an $80 Uber to get down there. But I had landed at 6 in the morning. They weren't landing till 1:30 in the afternoon. I had the whole morning and the beginning of the afternoon to myself. So since I was in an English-speaking country with a ton of time, I felt, let me take public transport. Let me get some breakfast first. I ended up getting a little bit of breakfast at the airport. For airport food, it was unbelievable. I had avocado toast with poached eggs and a delicious coffee. I had this blended espresso drink. It was so good and not too sweet either. Anytime I try to get some sort of blended espresso drink in the US, I don't want all the syrups. I don't like a really sweet drink. So it was just milk and espresso, and it was delicious. I also had a very strange experience where I've been asking the universe for signs per usual. I'm always looking for signs because I have lost so many loved ones. I'm always looking for any sort of way to feel connected to them, which, by the way, just lost Lola, and the street that I'm staying on is right next to Lola Street. So that's really nice. But I kept thinking in my head, I wonder like what my mom would think. I wonder if she'd be excited for me because it's almost the anniversary of her passing and I'm going to be on this trip during it. And I can't think of any better way to celebrate than showing her that I'm out here and I'm devouring life whole and I'm living my life and I'm exploring the world and I'm making my dreams come true. So I'm thinking about this as I'm sitting in the airport eating breakfast, and out of nowhere, this woman, middle-aged, maybe like my mom's age, similar build, comes up to me as I'm thinking this, looks me dead in the eyes and says, "Have so much fun." I paused, blinked a few times, couldn't fathom this happening. I'd never seen this woman. I didn't even make casual eye contact with her at this cafe. I had not seen her. She comes up to me out of nowhere, interrupts my meal as she's leaving the airport to come up to me and say, what did she say? She said, "Have the best time." That's what she did. She looked me in the eyes and she said, "Have the best time." And I asked, "Do I know you?" And she shook her head and walked away. And I looked at the woman to my left and I looked to the man on my right. And I said, "Did you guys see that?" They're nodding. They're like, "We did." They're like, "Yeah, that was a little strange, huh?" I said, "Yeah, it was a little strange." But then I sort of looked up and smiled. That was an interesting, notable moment. Yeah, she took off, never to be seen again. So after that, I felt, okay, I guess it's time for me to have the best time. Got up, hopped on a train, public transport in Brisbane. That's the only one I can vouch for. That's the only one I've taken so far. So clean, so affordable. Amtrak quality, $10. And there's a bathroom, and in the bathroom, there's a coat rack, and there's, you know, a hand dryer and soap that all looks exceedingly clean. It was, at this point, probably 8 in the morning, so the only people on the train really were kids going to school in their uniforms and senior citizens. And a lot of the senior citizens were on walkers, and I even saw someone in a wheelchair, and someone else was sort of in like one of those, I'm assuming the woman had cerebral palsy or something, you know, the sort of like wheelchairs that they have. It seemed like such a disability-friendly public transport, which I think the US really struggles. I think we're not intentionally ableist, but I cannot imagine how difficult it would be to get around in a walker in a lot of cities in the US. But in Brisbane, I'm not kidding, I've never seen so many walkers. And I also love when I'm traveling and I see senior citizens or retired people that are still out and about living in cities. I sort of feel like the US also has a bad habit of hiding our senior citizens. I remember when I was in Madrid a few summers ago, and it must have been 11:30 at night, and I'm leaving dinner and I'm seeing a couple that's probably in their 80s holding hands also leaving dinner. And it's so nice to see people still out and about regardless of age living in cities. So that was a really positive observation. And then I got off and I felt like, okay, I should get a little something, you know, maybe a coffee or so. So I got a coffee at a place that Elliot had recommended. And then I decided to walk towards the beach. And yes, I had a 50-pound suitcase. as well as my very thick, cumbersome carry-on. But I am me, and I have a hard time turning away any body of water. If there's a pool, I'm going to find it. If there's an ocean, I will be there. And as I'm walking towards the ocean, I see that there is a teenage volleyball tournament happening. And there's a boardwalk that way. And so I sort of it's not a boardwalk, okay? It's like rubber that people put down. It was good enough for me to roll my suitcase on. It was a little crazy. I definitely looked a little crazy, but I rolled my big suitcase down there. And I keep an AirTag in my big suitcase. That way, if it gets lost, I'm able to locate it and don't have to fully rely on airports to locate it, because that's a possibility. And it's a little risky, but I can't just carry this giant suitcase into the sand. It's far too heavy. So I park it by the volleyball tournament that's happening outside near their little tents. And I just walk backwards, facing my suitcase towards the ocean. And yeah, I put my feet in. I skip around in the water for a bit, sit down. It feels really nice. The sand is gorgeous. The temperature of the water is gorgeous as well. And I hang out there as long as I can until my like responsible voice in my head is Emily June. I heard her saying, "Lexi, you can't leave your suitcase. You just got to Australia. You're alone. You can't abandon your suitcase. You just got here. Go back and get it." And so I went back and I got it. And then I explored around a little bit more, found myself an acai place, had a nice bowl for lunch, and eventually took the bus. Once again, the bus was so nice. Train and bus, no complaints. So easy, user-friendly, quick, and clean. Took it to the airport, met up with my friends, and we all took a truck back to Byron Bay, into the farmlands of Millinbumby, and I don't think that's how you pronounce it, but something sort of similar and federal, and went to the banana shed. And it was a really fun first day. I loved it. I had a really good time by myself, and I tried to make the most of it. And then had our day of adventuring around the farmland and getting a nice meal and surfing. And I had a steak dinner. We also went out to this bar the next night and stayed till closing and made friends with the staff. And I saw my friend Miles, who's also in the band right now, at his place of work. He works at a little coffee shop. He made me a great long black, which is how they call their Americanos. And there was a St. Agni, which I just purchased a skort from St. Agni. Mind you, we're in like a casual beach town. Yes, there are some nice yuppie stores. That's rude to say. That's not what I meant. But there are stores like that. But we're in a very rural part that we're staying in for the most part outside of Byron Bay. But leave it to me for the 1 second we're near St. Agni. I'm like, I'd love a pair of jeans. Let's do it. So I got myself some denim, got a good coffee, and have just been having a really good time. And then yesterday we flew to Sydney, red Jitterbug perfume on the flight. We drove to a town that stunk. I did not like the town we were in yesterday. It no shade, but the venue smelled horrible. It reeked of sweat and vomit. They were saying it smelled like ecstasy and Red Bull. I'm like, it's much worse than that. It's much worse than that. And that was the first show I saw. It was pretty mellow. And then today we woke up in Bondi Beach and had breakfast, copped a swim. I think after this, I'm going to get back out there, walk around the town until it's time for the show tonight. But before I do that, I do want to read and answer some of the questions that you guys left me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, the name of this podcast. So let's get into them. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Listen up. Financial freedom is the only freedom. But here's the thing. Investing is overwhelming to a lot of people, especially with all the fancy jargon that these finance bros are using, trying to overcomplicate the system, when I promise you, it is really not that difficult. If you are a newbie, let me recommend Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start investing and saving in your future today. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich already. You can be wanting to be rich, but you can start with just the spare change that you have. I promise. Promise you, investing $10 is better than investing $0. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Lexi or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Lexi. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep, it could be my hormones at play. And I know firsthand how much stress can mess with hormones. Between work and life and travel, it's easy to feel a little out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system, helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, more. So it doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with the stress hormones such as cortisol. Small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Are you ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Lexi. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. Starting with Ellie, are you coming to Melbourne while in Australia? XX, you're my favorite podcaster. Unfortunately, they were in Adelaide and Melbourne while I was still in Los Angeles, so I missed those cities. I'm going to be in Sydney this weekend, and then I can tell you where I'm going to be, actually. We'll pull up my note. So we're doing Bondi tonight, Avalon tomorrow, Port Kembla the next day. Then we're off in Byron, and then next weekend we will be in Brunswick, Imundi, and Brisbane. Then we're back in Byron for a few days, and then the weekend after, we go to New Zealand, and we're in Wellington, Tauranga, Wranglin, and Auckland. And then I head home, question? Right? That's sort of how I feel. So unfortunately, I'm missing Melbourne. David wants to know, what U.S. cities would you compare to the Australian cities you've been to? It is a good question. Honestly, a lot of my comparisons have truly been more to Virginia. And that's because there's a lot of rolling hills. They're just more jungly versions. And I've been comparing it to that a lot. I just got to Sydney and it was dark. So today's really my first day. I haven't been able to explore too much. But from driving around, some parts look like London to me and some parts look like Madrid to me. And then you're on a beach too. So I think the food, generally what I felt, feels very reminiscent of Los Angeles. A lot of just fresh produce, light, you know, eggs, avocado sort of situations, matcha, coffee, all that sort of thing. It feels very comparable. They do have a little bit more lamb than I see in the US. But as for comparison of cities, I think I could answer that question a little bit better after my trip. Celine asks, things you've noticed about Australia coming from an American. People are a lot friendlier than I thought. People are quite talkative. I found this to be mostly in Brisbane and in Byron as well. Whereas the more populated the city, I find that you're encountering people all the time. Therefore, your likelihood of chatting with them is lower because there's so many people. But when you're in a slightly less populated city, people are a little bit more down to chat. And there's a relaxed nature to the chat where you're just kind of chatting to chat, not with any sort of gain. And for example, when we were at a bar earlier this week, having dinner, chatting with the staff, it was all very casual, like, hey, we're going to be at this show. You guys should come. Oh, we're going to go surf tomorrow. You can meet us at the beach. We ended up running into some people that we met at the restaurant that were also dining there at the beach the next day. And it has this very friendly vibe to it. Also, a lot of people that I'm meeting in Byron seem to be on some sort of work visa. So you have a lot of people visiting. And when people are visiting, they're more open to making friends because they don't know anyone. And I think that aids to the friendliness. But even in Brisbane and in the Gold Coast, a lot of people were just chatting with me and were very friendly and chatting with each other. As an American, I feel like we're told that we're so smiley and so friendly that to get here and think, oh, no, these people are, I would argue, even friendlier, almost comparable to Canadians, I would say. Other things I embarrassed myself, like the American in me really popped out last night at dinner. We were at a Mexican restaurant and we ordered chips and salsa and we had so much salsa left, but we were out of chips. So I asked for more chips and he just looked at me and was like, didn't you already have a tray? And I said, yes. And Camille's from France and the rest of the band's from Australia and Miles and Camille were like, God, you're so American. I was like, oh God, that's really embarrassing. I just didn't even think twice about it. I really didn't. Because most restaurants in America, if you're at a Mexican restaurant, they just keep pouring chips. Other things I've noticed, this probably seems pretty obvious, but a lot of the men, way more men have mustaches and mullets, but that's coming into trend a bit everywhere, but it feels very Australian. Claire asked, when was the last time your mind was blown? Probably arriving in Federal, pulling up to this rural part of a country where you just have so much space and there's horses and dairy farms and cattle, and then just having a town that is so boutique at the same time. It's so rural and so modern, and I've never seen that before. And maybe that exists in other places, which if it does, tell me, I want to go there. I love the idea of having modern conveniences and having open-minded, cool people, but in lower populated, more open spaces. I love it. Also, I really like surfing. I don't know if that blew my mind, but I really enjoy it. Tabitha asked, have I tried hot chips with chicken salt yet? Because you should. I haven't. I haven't even heard of it. But if I encounter, I'll report back. Someone asked, what's your favorite Australian band? The Babe Rainbow. Go check them out. New album dropping soon. Mayna Carey. I think that's how you say your name. What part of the US do you think is most similar to where you are right now in Australia? Yeah, a lot of comparison, which I find every time I travel somewhere new, you just start trying to draw conclusions. You know, like, oh, this looks like London. Oh, this looks like Madrid. Oh, this looks like Virginia. It looks a little bit like everything that I've seen, a little bit like nothing I've ever seen. Maybe the Gold Coast reminds me a bit of Florida because you have these high rises and it's very humid. So I would compare it to that. And then I keep comparing the farms outside of Byron Bay to Virginia, but that's the comparison that I have. That's where I grew up. Like, that's what I'm seeing. And Kimmy was like, no, it doesn't look like Virginia. That's all, you know, rolling hills. I'm like, but there are a lot of rolling hills here too. And these back roads, and I love back roads. I just feel so comfortable on them. My favorite roads to drive are huge highways, open road, or back roads. It's the in-between that I don't like. But I think I'll have, as I said, better reflections towards the end of the trip, if not after. This is so sweet. Marilla asked, how to enjoy life with a full-time corporate job. I'm struggling. Love you, big sis. I wish I could spend the day with you learning about life. It's really sweet. I wish you all could spend the day with me. People keep asking me if I'm doing any sort of meetup or anything. No, I don't have anything planned. This is my first time here, and if I would find it incredibly overwhelming to plan something in a place I've never been. That being said, I will be at every Babe Rainbow show until the end of this tour. So if you're looking to say hi to me, I will absolutely be there. I'll probably also be surfing at the pass. But how to enjoy life with a full-time corporate job? Of course, you can start in the little ways of trying to romanticize your day by even the little things like wearing your favorite underwear to work or doing a new hairstyle. Sometimes even wearing something as simple as a headband. I'm like, oh, new me. Oh, look, she put a clip in her hair. Have fun. Or getting up a tad earlier and maybe enjoying the morning before you go to work. Because I know when you get, or at least me, when I get into a routine of having to appear somewhere, I just start leaving as late as possible and forgetting that I can have a little time to myself beforehand. Same thing if you can schedule plans after or really make the most of time you have off. But even like getting into making yourself a really nice lunch to eat while you're there and trying to make the time at your job as lovely as possible would probably be my first recommendation. But as someone who has never worked a full-time corporate job, I don't think this is my area of expertise. Julie wants to know the top three things I'm most excited to do in Australia. See a koala bear. Check. I've seen three. Apparently there were four, but I didn't see the fourth. I've seen three. Yeah, not to brag. I've seen a koala. Need to see a kangaroo. Yeah. Kangaroo, I'll take a wallaby. I will. I wanted to surf. I want to continue surfing. If I can come back from this trip and say that I've been able to surf waves, because right now I'm just riding them sort of on my knees or barely standing, you know, basically sometimes I'm just laying flat on the board. Sometimes I'm on my knees. I really haven't been able to stand up and properly ride a wave yet. So if I could do that, I would feel overwhelmingly proud of myself and excited. I'm excited for New Zealand too, because it seems like everything I've heard about New Zealand, it's kind of a heaven. It's a little bit of a paradise, whereas there's so much wildlife and scary quintessential quote-unquote bugs here, and it doesn't seem like that's the case in New Zealand, so I'm quite excited for that. Other things I'm looking to do: Elliot makes beef tallow, and I really want to have some of that. I've been drinking raw milk. That was sort of on my list, just because raw milk generally seems pretty dicey. You have to really be cautious of how you source it, but it's his cow, and the guy that he's learning from. Like, this is his passion. He really takes it very, very seriously. So I trust. And I'm just having little bits. Not that I need to justify it. I'm a full grown adult. I'm not, you know, giving it to a small child. Other things that I'm trying to do, maybe drive, you know, because the driver's seat is on the right side and they drive on the left side of the road. That could be pretty fun to do. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. This one's a little off topic, but Hope asks, what's my favorite quality in a friend? Or what's my favorite quality in a friendship? That's such a good question to answer, but ultimately it's love and trust. I don't really care about the outer details. Some of my friends get along so well. Some probably, if they were stuck in a room together, would seem like they're from two different planets. But as long as there's love and there's trust and ultimately just wanting the best for each other, that's the basis of a good friendship, and everything else is all bonus. You know, when I have someone that I meet that I just ultimately want to support them, and I know that they want to support me, and we want to have fun together, we want to grow together, we want to get smarter together, we want to get more stylish or explore the world together, we want to, you know, whatever that is that we want to do together or separately and support each other in those endeavors, that's the basis. Like, people bring a smile to my face and I hope that I do the same to them. That's the basis of a good friendship. So whether it's the friend that I like to go out to eat with, or the friend that I like to stay in and talk for hours with, or the friend that I like to go travel with, those are all fun activities. And I'm glad that I have different people that I love and trust that I get to exercise those sides of myself with. But those activities aren't important enough for me. That's not enough for a friendship. I need the love and the trust there. And I recommend the same, because it makes for supportive, beautiful relationships. So I think I'll end the episode here. Guys, if you're a Patreon member, I have two different tiers. One is the ad-free extended podcast, and the other one is that plus ad-free extended YouTube style videos. So the ad-free extended YouTube channel. Last week, I wanted to record the Patreon episode, but I had to pack and I had to get to the airport. So instead of sitting on the mic and adding it, I had to record at the airport in Los Angeles. And the only way I could think to do it, because trust me, I tried to find a little hidden corner and it just wasn't possible. So I thought, let's do a little experiment. Let me put on the voice notes, let me hit record, and let me hold up the phone to my face as if I'm on a phone call. And I will just walk around the airport pretending that I'm on a phone call and chat with you. And I walked in and out of stores, into a bookstore, into the Harley Davidson store. And it was kind of fun, because also every store has their own music and there was a different vibe, and it sort of felt like you were on a real phone call with me. And I highly recommend you listening. I got one comment that was like, this was really fun to listen to. So I know it worked. I know it's a good thing, but I really enjoyed it. So I'm sort of tempted to walk around Sydney and do the same thing, but I also feel like maybe I should sit here and talk a little bit more. We'll see. We'll see. So if you're a Patreon member or you want to become one, I will have a link for it in the show notes, as well as a link for the Kindle. I'm going to put a nice little affiliate link there because you all need one. And Audible. I'm a big Audible fan. So we'll do that. Anything else I should include? I'll put my Instagram. You know, I'll put all necessary information in the description box, the show notes. And if you are on the Patreon already, I'll see you there in a second. But if not, I will talk to you guys next week. And I am vlogging this entire process, so you can go onto my YouTube channel, Lexi Lombard, and there will be many videos of this trip. So if you want a visual to it, it's there. Other than that, I will talk to you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.